Acts chapter 14. We sort of veered away last week and looked at the thought of revive us again and looked at what is revival. And we really need revival in our land, in our churches, in our homes. As we look around, we see the big mess that we're in all across this nation. The only thing that's going to help us is revival. And I hope we'll pray for it and seek God for revival in our lives and in our home and in our church here. People are hurting. People are suffering. They're facing a lot of problems. A lot of things are self-inflicted. They don't really see it till they get so far and deep into things till they just get away from God a lot of times, and situations in their own lives and not taking care of themselves and then dealing with getting involved in sin and different things. This world is a mess, and we need a revival. So let's pray that the Lord will send us revival and stir our hearts. But Acts chapter 14 this evening, we'll read. I tell you what, let's we're not going to deal with all these verses, just verses 1 through 7, but let's read down through verse 18, and then we'll give you the thoughts Lord's laid on our heart this evening. The Bible says in chapter 14 of the book of Acts, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude both of Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, bode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part helped with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, In the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. I want to look at just thought verses 1 through 7 this evening on boldness in the ministry. Boldness in the ministry. As we continue the study of Paul's first missionary journey, we see he and Barnabas move from Antioch in Pisidia to Iconium, about 85 miles to the southeast. Iconium was a cultural melting pot. There were Greeks, Jews, and Roman colonists all living together. The characteristics of faithful servants of God can be seen throughout the missionary journeys. The key characteristic here in this passage is boldness. Some people act boldly, but in reality, they are not really smart. They're like a bulldog chasing a locomotive. Then if he catches it, he don't have a clue of what to do with it. We need to be wise in our spirit and in the spirit as we go through this walk of life and looking for the opportunities the Lord's places before. And we've seen in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible said, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now you get reading through the book of Acts and you see God moving, you see revival taking place. I mean, people are being saved. The apostles are being used. They everywhere they go, they preach the word of God, and people begin to get saved. And that's what we need today. We need to get back to that point and place where we'd be willing to let God use us. Get to that point where we could be used, and let God just have His way. And we could probably, I believe, experience revival. God's no respecter of person. I don't think He'll send one generation something He won't give another if we'll seek it in the right way. But we see here in chapter 14, we see powerful preaching here at Iconium in verse 1. We see that they were preaching in the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 1, said, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." And I was reading Oliver Green's book several years ago, and I run up on that. I was reading chapter 14 about the commentary on chapter 14. He said that word "so spake" wasn't so much the message that they was preaching, but how they were preaching it. And they were being used. They were filled with the Spirit. They were preaching with boldness. And people paid attention. And we say a lot of times that it don't matter about the mannerism of the preaching, but it does. I mean, we need preaching that's Spirit-filled and men that have prayed and sought the will of God, and God moves in their life and begins to bless them as they begin to preach. Used to, everyone that preached just about preached in the Spirit. You don't hear that much anymore. I mean, most of the time we've done got so educated and we can put a message together, and we've got to that point and place. Most preachers don't need the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, we need the Holy Ghost. We need to preach, and we need to preach in the Spirit and in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But we see here the last statement regarding the ministry in Antioch was that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you go through the book of Acts, and every time that you'll see where the believers were filled with the Holy Ghost, that they spake the word of God with boldness. And I've said this a lot of times. Everyone needs to be filled with the Spirit. Everyone's not filled with the Spirit. Everyone that's saved is indwelt by the Spirit. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, said, "Be not drunk on wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And that's what makes the difference in preaching or witnessing or whatever we might be doing. It's whether we're filled with the Spirit, whether we're allowing the Spirit to control us. I believe everybody that's saved should be filled with the Spirit, young people, old people alike. And when people are filled with the Spirit, things will be different. Our relationship with the Lord will be totally different. Our preaching will be different. Our churches will be different when we have a church that's filled with Spirit-filled people. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 to 10 said, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And so we see that Peter, when he and John had went up to the temple there to pray, that this man sitting there, and they had healed him, and people was taking notice of that. Peter didn't take the credit for it, but he told how and why that man had been healed there. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit today like never before. I mean, we need Him on Monday, we need it on Tuesday, we need it on Wednesday, we need it on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Not just Sunday morning and Sunday when we come to the house of God, but we need the power of the Spirit. These apostles, they wouldn't accomplish anything had it not been for the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when they were indwelt and empowered with the Spirit to go do and carry out the work that Jesus had left them to do. A lot of times we do stuff in the energy of the flesh, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit today like never before. But we see the powerful preaching there at Iconium and what took place. They were preaching in the Spirit. They not only preached in the Spirit, but they preached at the synagogue. Paul always looked for the synagogue where he would go in and where he would get the opportunity. There, in those days, a synagogue was the place where Jewish people gathered for the reading of the Old Testament Scripture. It was a common practice to ask visitors if they had something to say to those in attendance. We see that Paul frequently, he took advantage of that custom and he would preach the gospel to those Jews. It was an opportunity that he used. You know, we need to look for the opportunities that we have to preach the gospel, to give the gospel out. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, we need to give the gospel out. We need to witness. We need to look for those opportunities, just as the Apostle Paul did during the time that he was on his missionary journeys. You'll find in the book of Acts that, first of all, when he'd go into a city, he'd look for those synagogues, and he would go in those synagogues, and he'd take advantage of that situation. And you'll find all through the book of Acts that there was a lot of people, a lot of the Jews that would believe. They knew that what Paul was telling is he reasoned out of the Old Testament and he read the Old Testament Scriptures, and he used those passages that pointed to the Savior, and he would take that and he'd preach to those Jews because they were well aware, they were well acquainted with the Old Testament prophecies there, and he would use those to preach to them Jesus and give them the gospel. We know that Philip used the Old Testament to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch there when he joined himself to the chariot. And he asked the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "Understandeth what thou readest?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And he was reading in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, and Philip took the scriptures there and expounded unto him Jesus. And we know the story how the Ethiopian eunuch trusted Christ as his Savior. They went down into the water, was baptized, and then he went on back to his country there in Ethiopia. And according to history, there was a church established there. And people say that probably that Ethiopian eunuch carried the gospel back down to that place. But Paul would go and he would preach in the synagogue. They would preach in the Spirit and people would be saved, as we read and we hear of those that would believe. We know everyone's not going to believe, but there's always some that will believe. So we see not only when they preached in the Spirit and they preached at the synagogue, we see it resulted in salvation of believers. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." We know this world that we live in, they think preaching is foolish. I mean, they don't want to hear it. They think that we're just a bunch of fanatics that come to the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and have revival services and come in and preachers take the Word of God and they preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of these cults and these isms and schisms that's working, trying to work their way to heaven, they think the preaching of the cross is too simple. They think it's foolish. They think that that we're preaching like this about Jesus that died on the cross, they think it's foolishness and they're trying to work their way to heaven. But I'm glad that salvation's simple. And I'm glad that the preaching of the cross was still working, will still work. But we see here preaching still works. When a man of God that's filled with the Spirit of God opens the Word of God and faithfully proclaims it, people will be saved. We don't need new methods. We need to return to God's pattern for ministry. And I'm glad that the gospel will still work. I got a message that I preached from chapter 14 on the gospel still works. And I'm glad that it's still available today. And I'm glad we don't need new programs. We don't need different methods. But, hey, we can still take that old story, how Jesus came from glory, how he put on a robe of flesh. He walked here for some 33 and a half years. And he took our sins and bore them up to Calvary and laid down his life and gave his life freely. And now that sinners can just believe and repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior, the gospel is still the good news. It's still the good news that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. So we see powerful preaching at Iconium. We see number two, we see the continual persecution against the gospel in verses 2 and verse 4 through 5. We live in a world that praises dead saints and persecutes live ones yet in this day and hour that we're living in. But you look through the book of Acts, you find a lot of persecution. I mentioned this probably several times, but we find the persecution that took place there in Jerusalem as God used that persecution. He took that persecution, and he pushed those believers out into other places, and they went and preached the gospel. So God used the bad that was being done against the believers, and he turned that around, and he used it for good to get those that had got comfortable in the church there at Jerusalem, and he dispersed them to other places across the land there at that time. And they went to different places, and they preached the gospel, and people were saved. But we see, first of all, we see persecution from unbelievers here. We see the word assault means to rush. There in verse 3 said, verse 2 said, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. So we know, looking back through history and even in our time that we're living in, the devil uses unbelievers sometimes. A lot of times he uses believers. He tries to hinder the preaching of the gospel, whether it's with believers or unbelievers. But here we see in verse 2 that the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. And so we see that as they began to try to work and the devil began to try to hinder the gospel, he used those unbelieving Jews that were they didn't want anything to do with the gospel. They had their religion. They had that old economy. That's what they had been brought up in. And they felt threatened when the Apostle Paul and the apostles would come in and begin to preach the gospel. And they were usually the ones that hindered the most in a lot of cases was the religion. And we'll still find today that religious people are wicked people. I mean, they want to hinder the truth that God has given us, and so we should expect no difference in this day and hour that we're living in. If we're trying to do something for God, and God's trying to do something, we're going to have some persecution, we're going to have some problems, and a lot of times it'll come from different avenues in our lives and in our churches. In Rome, history tells us that the crowds came by the thousands to watch Christians be torn apart by wild animals in the Colosseum. Those who refused to accept the gospel responded to the conviction they were feeling by attempting to silence those who were preaching the truth. So we find out, you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and Martyr Mirrors and these different things, you can see some of these martyrs that gave their life through the persecution, trying to get the gospel, trying to get the Word of God to the place that we've got it today, and we've always had that kind of persecution to the point that they would even kill Christians and put them to death. And we know the horror stories that we've heard down through the years, but we see the persecution from unbelievers. We see the posturing against the gospel message. We see the Jews were poisoning the minds of the public against the Apostle Paul. They were trying to stir people up to hinder. And we know how Paul, places he would go, they would beat him. They would, there at Lystra later on, we'll find that he was stoned and left outside the city dead. And he was always in danger. And a lot of times it was because of his own countrymen, the Jews, that would try to persecute and try to hinder the preaching of the gospel. They speak evil against the Apostle Paul and the apostles and trying to stir up strife and trying to stir up people against them to hinder the preaching of the gospel. They were losing members. I mean, people were believing. They were hearing. The Holy Ghost was convicting hearts, and people was being saved. So they began to spread rumors. They began to tell things and try to stir people up against the gospel. The Bible tells us what the tongue will do and how it can hinder. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4 said, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Psalms 39 and verse 1 said, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." The Jewish leaders here, they took a public role in speaking out against Paul and Barnabas, and eventually they succeeded in convincing enough people of their point of view that it moved from verbal accusation to threats of violence. And it's sad today, but you know, we hear things all around the world, the religious, the Muslims, the different ones that's persecuting Christians, the believers in those Muslim countries that face the same things that Paul did, just for merely believing the truth. But we see the persecution from unbelievers, the posturing against the gospel message, and then we see the polarizing of the town here. Human nature wants to think that all roads lead to the same place with the same results in the end. But we know that that's not true. All roads don't lead to heaven. All religions are not the same. Everyone's not preaching the truth of this Bible. But we see here that some in Iconium believed the message of Paul and Barnabas. Many others gave heed to the blasphemous lies of the Jewish leaders. As a result, the town was divided into two factions. The gospel always divides between those who receive it and those who reject it. So we see the Apostle Paul and them, they were on their first missionary journey. They were having people saved, but they had complications. They had problems. They faced the religious. They faced the unbelievers. They had opposition in trying to get the truth. The devil is always in opposition. That's why we see today churches are being hindered. And it's because of Satan, because he hates the truth of the gospel. Hey, that men, women, boys, and girls can have their sins forgiven. And they do everything and anything, and they'll use anybody and everybody that they can to try to stop the spreading of the gospel. And there's nothing new under the sun. We're still going to face these things. So we see the continual persecution against the gospel. Then we see number three, we see the faithful persistence of the missionary. I thank God that there are some faithful people, aren't you? Hey, I thank God for the faithful men of God and women down through the years that stayed with the truth, and they've stayed with the Word of God and still continuing on today. We know it's easy today to fall under the pressures of this system today and let them cow you down, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you, it's time that we're faithful as God's people to take a stand, and we try to win people to God like never before, because I'm going to tell you, this time's running out. We're running short on time today, and we need to be faithful as these apostles were. The faithful persistence of the missionaries, they didn't give up. They didn't give out, and they just kept on keeping on. How did they deal with this opposition that they faced? Verses 3 and 6 through 7 there. We see, first of all, there was prolonged preaching. There was prolonged preaching. They didn't give up. They just kept preaching the Word of God. They just kept standing no matter what the opposition came to them. Verse 3 of chapter 14 says that the missionaries stayed and preached for a long time. You know, a lot of times we give up when pressures get on, and we think, well, they ain't no use. We might as well just move on, go somewhere else and try something different. But these apostles, these missionaries, they continued on as long as they could, and they continued preaching the Word of God. Hey, they were not discouraged by the opposition. They simply regarded it as a reason to increase their efforts. I'm going to tell you, if you get to looking around here at Open Door Baptist Church, if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged about what's going on, about not seeing the pews full about not seeing people get saved on a regular basis, and I believe people ought to be getting saved. There's something wrong when we don't see folks getting saved. And we're not doing our part. I believe if we'll do our part, if we'll get them here, I believe that the God of heaven, the Holy Ghost, will move in our services, because that's what His job is to convict and convert sinners. And if we'll do our part in getting them here and spend our time in prayer, if we'll get filled with the Holy Ghost and get earnest with God, I believe that God will still save people. I believe the gospel still works. And so we see there was prolonged preaching. They were not discouraged by the opposition. They simply regarded it as a reason to increase their effort. Hey, when it gets tough, that's when we really need to get going. That old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And that's what we need to do. We just need to keep on keeping on. We need to get that staying power, get praying more, get to seeking God, get a refreshing, get a new start, and go on with what we're doing and what we know's right to do. Be faithful. Be persistent. We want instant spirituality and instant results a lot of times. Hey, it don't happen like that sometimes. When I first come down here, I told you my vision was to see 100 people in these pews and this note paid off. And to see 100 people in these pews, we got to get people saved. That's the best way to fill these pews, is to go out and witness to people and win people to the Lord and see people get saved and baptize them and fill the pews and disciple those people. That's God's way of doing it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, beginning at Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. So we've got the same responsibilities we do in reaching out to the uttermost parts of the world and going to those foreign countries, supporting these missionaries that's going. Hey, we got our Jerusalem, we got our Judea, we got our Samaria. And that's how we're gonna see God do something if we're doing our part. But we want instant spirituality a lot of times and instant results, and it don't happen like that all the time. God ain't on our schedule. God is in control of this thing. The Bible tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he goes on and said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We see that today, people are getting hooked up in these different religions. They get sidetracked because they don't know their Bible. You go out and you begin to knock doors and you're going to run up on different religions. When you start to witness to people, you're going to run up on people that are confused because they've been taught wrong and they've got a hold of the untruths and the errors that these teachers are, in our world are teaching today. They're confused. As I've said a lot of times, they're confused as a termite and a yo-yo. And there's a lot of that. I told you, we was out visiting one time up in Cleveland. I knocked on the door about lunchtime that day, and lady come to the door, and I introduced myself, told her who I was, and she said, well, I'm a Jehovah Witness. I said, really? I said, well, what are you doing here at the house? She said, give me a break, I gotta eat. But you run up on that a lot of times. The Jehovah Witnesses have come to your house. You need to know your Bible. You need to know how to deal with them. If you don't know how to deal with them, let me give you some advice. Don't deal with them. Because I'm going to tell you, they'll make you look like you don't know nothing. I've been there, done that. The old guy at work, Honda, that time, I was going to witness to him. I found out he was a Jehovah's Witness, and I got to witnessing to him. Hey, he turned me over which way but loose. And I said right then, I'm gonna study my Bible. I'm going to know enough that I can contend with these guys. If they know their teachings as much as they do, I ought to at least know enough that I can deal with them and I can witness to them. And I made it a point, and I tried to, and I still don't know a lot, but I know enough that I can talk to them. And if it gets too hot and too hard, just tell them, say, hey, let's pray. they'll get ready to leave real quick. But we see the faithful persistence of the missionaries. We see the prolonged preaching that took place. They didn't get discouraged. They stayed with it. We see the bold preaching that was taking place. This was not necessarily, someone said this wasn't necessarily just public preaching. It refers to personal witnessing as well. You know, I think that's where we fail the most, is in our personal evangelism. I know that's where I fail. It's pretty easy to get up here to preach to y'all. But you get to trying to get down one-on-one in personal evangelism, it gets pretty hard sometimes. You get to looking for them opportunities, them open doors. And a lot of times we don't have no open doors because we're not trying to open no doors. And we're not knocking on no doors. And we're not confronting people that we come into contact with a lot of times. And I'm going to tell you, you go to make contact with people, you'll run up on a lot of different things. Reason we're not having no experiences and no stories to tell, because we're not getting out there mixing with them. I've listened to a lot of people tell stories, preachers tell stories and soul winners telling stories, and you think, I wonder if that's really true. Well, you get out there and start talking and dealing with people, and you'll find out it is true what they're running up on. There's anything and everything out there. And we see the bold preaching that was taking place. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And every time they got filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, they went out and they spake the word of God boldly. And I've said this a lot of times. I like to have a good time. I like for the Spirit of God to move in the service. But that ain't the primary reason for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The primary reason for the filling of the Holy Ghost is that you might be able to go out and speak the word of God with boldness. And a lot of times we use the excuse, well, I just don't know what to say. Well, if you'll study your Bible and you'll hide the word of God in your heart, if you'll put Scripture in your heart, I promise you, when you get in a situation, the Holy Ghost will bring it to your memory. I've seen it happen so many times. That it just comes. God will use it, and He'll give you what you thought that you didn't have and that you studied and you looked at. But they had great liberty in the Lord here. Their boldness didn't come from their own strength. They preached boldly in the Lord rather than in the flesh. Robert Murray M'Cheyne said, I preached as if uncertain to ever preach again as a dying man to dying people. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2 says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Hey, we need to preach the gospel with boldness this evening. We need to preach holiness with boldness. Not many people preaching holiness anymore. They're afraid to preach holiness. But I'm going to tell you, when the gospel works in a person's life, we need to preach holiness to people, that they might realize our responsibility and what the gospel has done. We need to preach faithfulness with boldness this evening. I said when I was up Zion Hill, I preached so much on faithfulness, I got nearly ashamed to get up and preach on faithfulness. People will get mad at you for preaching on being faithful to the house of God, being faithful to the things of God, being faithful to reading the Word of God. Just you get to preaching on faithfulness and you get people to get, that people will get uneasy with you. They think you're pointing at them. When you get to preaching, sometimes you're not pointing at anybody. If something comes up, and then when people get stuck, the Holy Ghost sticks them, then they think that you're pointing them out. I've seen it so many times. We see not only there's prolonged preaching and bold preaching, but there was affirmed preaching. The Lord gave testimony with miraculous works. They said John Wesley, this was from the diary of John Wesley, said Sunday a.m. May the 5th, preached in St. Annie's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m. May the 5th, preached at St. John's, deacon said get out and stay out. Sunday a.m. May 12th, preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday a.m. May the 19th, preached at St. Somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m. May the 19th, preached on street, kicked off the street. Sunday a.m. May 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out a meadow as a bull was turned loose during service. Sunday a.m. June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m. June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. You know, a lot of times, they said John and Charles Wesley preached so strong, they kicked them out of the churches of England. Well, they were preaching the truth of the Word of God. They were preaching with affirmation. I mean, they were preaching the truth. They were getting down to where the rubber met the road, and they had problems. When Paul and Barnabas preached, their words were backed by the power of God. They were faithful. Even when they had to flee from Iconium, they preached the same gospel at Lystra. We need Christians today who are faithful, bold, and predictable. I'm going to tell you what, everybody's not going to be happy. They're not going to embrace you and tell you thank you, and you're going to run up on a lot of opposition today. But I'm going to say the gospel will still work. When it's preached with boldness, when it's preached with love, when it's preached with dedication and faithfulness, I believe people will still get saved today. And Apostle Paul and them, they had a lot of conflict, a lot of problems. And we're going to have, it's going to get worse probably in this day and hour. And I'm not trying to discourage you, I'm trying to encourage you. Let's just buckle up and get ready. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. And look for the opportunities that God gives us to preach and to teach and to witness to people and tell them what Jesus has done. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege we have to be here this evening. Thank you for the Word of God that's quick and sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you'll take the message this evening and lodge it in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we'll get to the point, Lord, that we would desire to see people saved more than anything. Lord, realize this world's going to hell in a handbasket, Lord, and I pray that you'll help us as your people here at Open Door, that we'll get more concerned. Lord, we'll get more stirred for souls in this day and hour than we've ever been in our lives. Lord, open doors and help us to have the opportunity. Help us to look for the opportunity. Help us to make opportunities, Lord, and then allow you to use us to share the gospel with some lost soul. Lord, every day, help us look for that chance, Lord, and that privilege. Lord, it's a privilege to be able to go out and witness to people. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for the privilege to be here this evening. Bless the message. Bless the webcast as it goes out. And Lord, I pray for our missionaries that's around the world. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to fulfill our Jerusalem while they're going to the uttermost parts of the world. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.